this morning. Hey, you braved. It's the end of spring break. Are there parents in the room? You survived the break with children home for a whole week. Hopefully you had fun. But no, really, who has kids here in this room? Could you raise your hands? A lot of you. Okay, I just want to tell you something this morning. I was thinking about parents this morning, seeing that I am one. And I just wanted to say thank you. I was watching kids worship here in the front and everything. I just want to say thank you to the parents who are raising their kids in the house of God. Can I say thank you for that time and investment and for making it a priority? Yeah, I think we should clap for all the parents. Youth, you should be like shouting down your parents right now. For the investment, thank you for taking the time to instill in your kids that God loves them and that the church isn't a place that's going to reject them, but that the church is a place that stands open-armed because all we do is reflect Jesus, right? That's what we're here to do, is reflect Jesus and say, hey, we love you and we're proud of you. So parents, you should pat yourselves on the back. Keep going. Don't give up, because it's an amazing journey. And I can tell you, you're never, ever, 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 ever going to go wrong putting your kids in the presence of God. Never once. We raised our kids sleeping under the pews. We had pews back then. Wow, the chairs. In today's terminology, they would come to the services since they were like just born, and they would fall asleep. Jack, every time we would come to like a worship night or anything like that at church, we used to have prayer every Saturday night up at the City Church where we're from in Seattle. For years and years and years. And Jack, he literally, the music would start and Jack would fall asleep. Every single Saturday, he'd be passed out in the front and we'd gather him up and take him back home, put him in bed, wake it up, do it all over again the next morning. But it's awesome. You can never go wrong raising your kids in the house of God. So good job, mom and dad, this morning. Can you pray with me? And then we're going to jump in. Jesus, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you're always with us. Father, I thank you for the journey of life and the stories that we live in every day. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I am going to let you in on a little bit of a journey that we're going through personally in our own life. And as you get to know me, because some of you I haven't known very long, but I'm not super emotional. I'm just really steady Eddie, and I usually, you know, don't panic. I was trained as a search and rescue person, you know, and so they kind of train you, like, you don't panic. If you're ever lost, I'll come find you. It's going to all be okay. I can read topographical maps, people. I will come and search for you. It's kind of fits my personality, and I've never been one to, like, just share my whole story and live my life, but when I married my husband 20 years ago and we were on our honeymoon and we get to the airport and he's literally sharing his, I'm not supposed to say that word. My husband told me in between services, this is a side note, you say that word a lot. So sorry, I'm apologizing now if I say literally a lot. Okay. I'm sitting next to Ryan and he's like sharing his entire life story with some random stranger. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? You don't even know them. Like, and the person's crying, and I'm thinking, oh God, is this going to be my life? Like, out for all to see, and yes, it is. So I've had to, like, go on this journey the last 20 years of my life, knowing that, okay, this is part of what we do with our life. But I'm going to bring you in this morning on a personal journey that God is really taking us through, my family through, in this current season of our life. And as we go into the journey, you're going to recognize this morning that when the walls look really big, God stands outside of time. I know that sounds like a big concept, but I'm a mom, so we're going to break it down into concepts that we all can understand. But this morning, we're going to see how God stands outside of time and space in your journey of life. So currently, we have two kids. We have Jack here on the front, who's 12, and we have a daughter named Emma, who's 14, almost 15, and she currently is in L.A., and some of you might not know that, but God has called her to a people group that sometimes is unsettling to me as a mom and to Ryan as a dad. And she's in LA living out her dream because she knows God has called her there. And it goes back to when she was born. You could tell the bend in her life was for the theatrical of life, theatrics. I mean, she lived out loud every minute of the day. And that was always her bend. She was in every competition. She was doing all sorts of things. Totally not my personality, but that was her bend, right? And so from a young age, she just kept actually telling us, I'm going to end up here. I know I'm called here. God's called me here. Which brings a whole nother sermon that we'll talk about another day about your kids walking in their destiny from a young age. But that's another story for another day. But she was telling us this, and actually she would weep at night. Just weep, cry in her bed. I'd be like, why are you crying? She's like, I just see the people in Hollywood, and I'm just crying for them because I know God loves them. And I'm thinking, really? You're 9. You don't even know them. I don't even know them, right? You know, so shit, we're going on. And now you fast forward all these years, and here it is, one thing. If I told you the whole story, it would take, like, a very long time. So we are getting the abridged version this morning. So things just kept happening, and doors kept opening that we never even pushed on or knocked on. And all of a sudden, one thing leads to another. And before we know it, we're having conversations about her going to LA. I'm thinking, wait, what life am I living right now? How is this even possible? And the next minute, my parents, who are in their 70s, they're like, yeah, we'll move to LA, leave our whole life that we've lived for 70 years in Seattle for, and move to, like, this giant city. They're like, oh, yeah, we're up for the adventure. I'm thinking, really? I'm like, God, what's happening? So, you know, we're moving forward, and all of a sudden now the time is like, okay, I'm just going to move. Yeah, 2 months. 2 months, and we set the time like, okay, we're going to move February and March, because that's what my brain could wrap around in that current time. So I got an Airbnb. We're like, woohoo, we're in it to win it. She's doing it. She's auditioning. I don't even know what it's called. She's auditioning. She's going out there. She's doing these things. She's like getting all these callbacks, and she's having favor literally with everyone she meets. Oh, there's the word again. I do say it a lot, huh? Literally a lot, guys. No. Anyway, so all this stuff is happening, and as time is now coming, it's February has passed, and now it's the middle of March, and I'm thinking, okay, we're coming up to the end of March. She's going to come home, and we'll just continue to, like, do it long distance, and, you know, we'll just keep going. And I'm beginning to think God's, like, talking to me, and he's talking to Ryan, and he's talking to my parents, and he's talking to Emma, and nobody feels like she's supposed to come home. I'm thinking, that wasn't part of the plan, really. The plan was February and March, if you remember, God. That's what you told me. February and March. That's 2 months. Emma's like, I'm not supposed to come. My parents are like, we don't think she's supposed to leave. We feel like we're supposed to stay. I'm thinking, you're wanting to stay in LA? And Ryan and I, we couldn't find any peace about her coming home. And so we're like, oh God, what are you doing? Well, I'm thinking, the Airbnb, it ends. God, do you realize it ends? It ends in 2 weeks. We have no plans. Like, come on, what are you doing? And so as we are moving forward, one night, it was about a week and a half ago now, I was sitting at home. It was 9 o'clock at night, and Melissa was there, and Bianca was in the room, and I just stood up. I was sitting on the couch. I stood up, and her manager had sent me, like, this whole list of hotels. I mean, not hotels, apartments. And I just stood up, and I go, guys, I am beginning to be overwhelmed. Because as I was looking at this list, I'm thinking, that means first month, last month, furniture, utilities, a year's lease. I'm going on, and I'm like thinking, this is overwhelming. The expense, God, what are you asking us to do here? I don't even understand how this is even going to work. And so I stood up. I'm like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And for me, that you have to understand, that takes a lot for me to get there. So when I'm there, we know there's trouble. So I'm there. And I sit down at my computer, and just the Holy Spirit just started talking to me and said, remember the promises of God. So I started rehearsing. you know, all the things that God had done for us, all the open doors, all the yeses, all the stories that had happened up to this point. I'm going, not only in my life, I'm going rehearsing other people's stories. I'm rehearsing the Bible stories. I just keep like rehearsing. I'm like, I'm not going to be overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, my computer dings, and it's my brother on 9:30 at night sending me an email. I'm thinking, that's so weird. My brother lives in Seattle. He works for the church that we were at for 15 years, and his job up there is he is in acquisition of new properties for the city church now called Church Home. So he works with a lot of people, has relationship with a lot of people, and he just emailed me suddenly. Don't you love that, how God does that? Just happened to email me right in that moment at 9:30 at night, and he's like, oh, hey, sis, talk to Mom and Dad. And you have to know my brother. He's like this happy, most fantastic buddy. So as I am like, you know when you read emails and you hear their voices, and he's like, hi, sissy, it's your brother. You know, I just am calling you and texting you or emailing you to tell you some things. And so it goes on, and he's like, yeah, I talked to Mom and Dad and they said you were thinking about staying. And so I just went ahead and reached out for you, hope you don't mind, to some contacts I have there in LA and through the city church. And anyway, do you need an apartment? Because my contact has one for you that they're going to give to you for half price, 2-bedroom, right where it needs to be. And you don't have to sign a year lease, and it's fully furnished, and all the utilities are paid for. And all you have to do is go month to month to month for as long as you want. And you can just give them like a week's notice and then leave. I was like, did this actually just come up on my email right now? And I'm thinking, God, you're so amazing. Thinking, okay, that's right. Don't panic. This is what happens, right? And God's always good. So, but this is what I love about God, is he always says, I give you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask, think, dream, imagine, yada, 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 right? So I'm thinking, well, God, this is so awesome, but we still have to pay for it. So, wonder how that's going to happen. Double mortgages going out, you know? And I'm thinking, God, what's going to happen here? Well, we get a phone call while I was on the phone telling my mom, like, all this great thing. And well, some of our friends called us, and they said, oh, yeah, we just called you tonight. God actually had spoke to us maybe, like, 4 weeks before that we were supposed to give you some money. But we just felt like we were, you know, we need to call you tonight. And they gave us some money, which paid for the rent of this new place. And I thought to myself, dear Jesus, what was I even thinking? I began to think I'm panicking and I'm overwhelmed. And in a matter of 30 minutes, you solved both my problems without me even lifting a finger. And I'm thinking, God, could it be that easy? Is it really that easy? Does it really move that quickly? And all of a sudden, he brought me to this verse. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Peter 3:8-9. This is out of the Message Bible. It says, don't overlook the obvious here, friends. I love the frankness of God. I can just hear him talking like, come on, don't overlook the obvious, guys. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. And in that moment, I thought to myself, oh, first of all, thank you. I've read that 100 times, and I've never really put into perspective the reference of time has nothing to do with anything that we could ever imagine, that God exists outside of time and space, that he's always existed from eternity, and he will always exist into eternity. So I'm like, wow, that's really crazy. But here's what really got me was the last part of that. Can you put that back up, the last part? It says he's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone to be lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. And in that moment of my panic, I realized that life is bigger than my moment. But I'm on a journey with him, not for myself, but to bring people with me. That we're on a journey allowing people to travel with us and giving them time and space to catch up to the journey, because in ultimate situations, God is only concerned with bringing people to himself. So crazy things happening. And as this whole story is going along, you know, I thought, oh, I learned my lesson. Thank you, God, time and space. I'm not going to forget all of this. And then this week, I had another moment. Don't you love that? You think you like, oh, I got it down, guys. I'm good. Patting myself on the back thinking, yes, learn the lesson. And then this week, I was in the offices and literally, oh, darn it. Ryan Cross, our youth pastor, and Melissa were in the office, and I broke down. And here's another thing. You're learning so much about me this morning. I hardly ever cry, except sometimes when I get here up on the stage and the Holy Spirit, like, hits me, I tear up then. But my husband often, all for these last 20 years, he's like, do you have emotion? Are there, it's not a bad thing. We joke about it all the time. And he's like, is it happening? And so for me to, like, I could feel the well breaking, and I just was losing it in the office. Not the pretty cry, like the ugly cry. I had snot. I'm like throwing, you know, stuff away in the garbage can. Cross's garbage can was full of Kleenex by the time I was done. And we were just walking through this whole journey of what we're doing with Emma, because I'm thinking, I had said 2 months. That's what I had said. That was my deal. I didn't anticipate at 14 saying, oh, go ahead, walk in your destiny. Oh, go ahead, I guess I'll see you when I see you. Oh, wait, you're my baby girl. Like, I want to keep my babies close. You're not supposed to leave me until you're 18 and you go to college. That's the way it's supposed, that's the journey of life. Don't you know God? And he brought me back to 2 Peter again, saying, time one day is like 1,000. And ultimately, you're on this journey for souls. So as I was doing that, I was thinking, God, Ryan had told me I was going to preach. And I'm like, well, I guess you're giving me something to preach on, God, because I can preach on what I'm going through right here in the moment. So he took me back to Exodus 14. And Exodus 14 is the story of the Israelites who are fleeing Egypt. And you know, Pharaoh's army's after them, and they're escaping, and God had said, no, don't go this one way. I want you to go this other way, because, you know, they're going to think that you're headed here, but actually you're headed there. And so they find themselves trapped up against the Dead Sea, or the Red Sea, sorry. Yes, the Red Sea. And here they are trapped against the Red Sea, and this whole journey out of Egypt, they were led, first of all, let's think about this. They were led in the nighttime by a pillar of fire. Try to wrap your brain around that. Has anyone ever just seen random pillars of fire floating around in the sky anytime lately? Or random pillars of smoke and like clouds that you thought, oh, I know, I'll follow this. Usually that means tornado and you run the other way, you know. So I'm thinking, first of all, wow, that's crazy. As I'm reading through all this, like, God, I would be like, what are we doing as we leave this place and we're just randomly following with all of our children and all of our animals and all of our stuff piled on carts, on donkeys, walking, carrying everything, and where are we going? And now we're at the Red Sea, and the armies are coming against us, and here we stand. And have you ever had that sinking feeling in your heart where your heart literally drops into your stomach and you're like, ugh, might lose it right now. I might panic. I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel so much pressure. I can't see what's beyond this moment. And I was thinking about the Israelites standing there against the Red Sea, thinking that's probably exactly how they felt. God, yeah, you showed yourself with this fire thing and this cloud thing, but we're all going to die because the army is right here and we have nowhere to go. And the story picks up right here. I'm going to read it to you. Moses, this is what he told the people. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. At that moment, I'd be like, right. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Because I think there's a bit in the Bible that was missed there, because I'm sure Moses put on a brave face for the Israelites and then went to God and said, God, what are you doing? And the Lord had to say, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of it and the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about being Moses in that moment and thinking, God, do you understand time? Like, the tide moves in and out. Do you know, I don't even know the time it's going to take for you to part an ocean, part a sea, and for me to walk across it and for the ground to be dry? Do you see all these people? Do you see how much we have? How is this even going to happen? How are we going to move forward in this? Simply, could it be as easy as raising my staff? That's all you want me to do? Is just pick up this stick thing and hold it in the air and then you're going to divide the sea? I mean, think about that for a moment as he's sitting there wondering, God, what are you doing in this journey of my life? So this morning I'm going to talk about just real briefly three things that I think God wants us to know on our journey as we travel through time. And here's the first one. Are you ready? It's really simple. God's timing is not our timing. Darn it. I want to say that a lot to him sometimes. Darn it, I thought it was going to be my way. I kind of like my ideas. I think that they're really great. I think that sometimes you give me some great thoughts, and I think this is the way we should go. It would be perfect. God's timing is not our timing. God saw the bigger picture with the Israelites. You see, he saw that through a miracle, the story that was going to be told through generation after generation after generation after generation after generation was meant to bring glory to God. It had nothing to do with that moment. It had definitely for them to be saved. But do you see the bigger picture of time and space that God was looking at? He wasn't looking at, oh, this is a problem, the Red Sea is in your way. He was looking at it, oh, that's no problem, all you got to do is raise your stick. But the glory that it's going to bring me further on down the road after generation, that's what's going to bring people to me. And I notice with humans, when time doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to happen, we lose hope, right? Like, if it's not what you thought it was going to be, all of a sudden hope begins to wane. We begin to waver on our promises. Promises that we made towards people, promises that we thought we were going to keep, they begin to waver. Our commitments, our motivation, things begin to waver when we can't see that God's timing is not our timing. But what I began to understand, really understand in these last 2 weeks, is that really God's timing has no bearing on what he already promised he was going to do. He already promised it. He says that we're all on the journey. He says that we're all on this thing of life with a story. But his time doesn't have any bearing on time and space. His it doesn't have any bearing on what he's already promised he was going to do. He already said, hey, I'm a good God. If we remembered that one truth, if we remembered what we've been learning about for the last several months, God with us, if we remember that one thing, oh, God, you're with us? Oh, all right, then I can do it. Second point. This was crazy. God has been working up to this very moment in time for hundreds of thousands of years. I started researching the math on one day is as a thousand. He's not comparing one day equals a thousand. He's giving like a simile, a comparison, right? One day is as a thousand. So I started thinking, I like numbers. What does that look like? So 1 year is 365,000 days. That's just 1 year in our life. 1 year equals 3,650 centuries. 1 year equals 36,500 decades. 1 hour would then equal 41.6 years. 1 hour. That's like as long as I've been alive. Think of everything that's happened in your lifetime. I think about everything that's happened in my lifetime, and God's like saying, well, that's like an hour. I'm like, what? 1 minute could equal 8.33 months. 1 minute of time. 1 second of time. 4.16 days. Just think of how much you can accomplish in 4 days. God's been working on your behalf. That's just 1 second. And I was thinking about all of this and how it all worked on top of each other, time and space and our story and our journey and God living outside of what we could see. And all of a sudden, when he told me, hey, preach out of Exodus, when I went back to Exodus, I want to show you a picture of my Bible. There it is. See how I circle 14? This is word for 2017, January 1. January 1, 2017, this is what I love about God, how he reminded me yet again, I'm always working outside of your time and space. He had me read that in January last year to prepare me for 2018. I read and I thought, oh, this is a great story. I love how God is with us. I love how God was for them. I love how he's working. Oh, God, you're so good. You're part of the Red Sea. That's amazing. But I didn't grasp it until 2 weeks ago when this whole thing and emotion started crashing in and I realized, wow, God, you're even so good that you started preparing this a year ago for me in my heart without me even knowing that what was going to happen. And the third point, it doesn't always look like you imagined it. But it's always going to be for his glory, and it's always going to be for the sake of souls. You know, there's so many biblical examples of what I would think God missed the timing on. And I'm sure in the moment they thought they missed, you know, God was missing the timing too. We heard Ryan preach about Lazarus the other. I would be like, yeah, God, you missed the time. He died. And then you rose again. Oh, because it was for your glory. I was thinking about Moses. And not just Moses, I was thinking about Moses' parents. Talk about strange timing. Oh yeah, God, no worries. I'm gonna put my 3-month-old in this little basket and float it on down the river. Good luck, buddy, hope you make it. Who is that? Talk about a journey and a story of trusting God that he has something bigger and for a glory that's beyond. Do you realize that that little baby that they released was Moses that set the Israelites free, God's chosen people, and started a story and a destiny that literally changed the face of time through one act. Think about Paul and Silas sitting in jail They're like, are we ever going to get out of here? And they start singing, and the ground and the earth shakes, and the doors fly open, and they don't leave. And they peek their heads out, and they see that the jailers that were guarding them were about ready to take their lives. And they're like, no, don't worry, we're still here. In that moment, it was outside of the time and space for Paul and Silas. I thought they would think, yes, we're free. But God was like, yes, you're free. But it's so that these people could catch up to the journey so that they could find me. That's why they're free. Mary, the mother of Jesus, at 12 to 14, she carries the God of the universe. I'm kind of thinking in her head, she was thinking, I have a 14-year-old, so I kind of know how they think, and I'm thinking, wow, that would blow my 14-year-old out of the water. She'd be like, what is happening? Outside of time and space, God had a plan. And God's plan for his son was to save the known world. And we're all on that journey. He's working on that journey. I just have to tell you this one more thing. As I looked back on the fact that sometimes it thinks like God's stalling out in our journey of life. Like, oh, we've hit that wall, or we're up against the Red Sea and we don't know how we're going to go around it. And God, you've stalled out again. And I don't see you in this moment. And I begin to panic and my heart's sinking. I started thinking about that in terms of Ryan and I's life and our daughter and our family. And all of a sudden I realized, well, for 44 years, I've visited LA every single year. My in-laws, Nana and Grandpa, my kids' grandparents, my husband's mom and dad, they planted a church in LA. They lived in LA. They walked the streets of LA with thousands of people declaring LA for Jesus. My husband spent hours on his knees calling out for a city. Our auntie, Melissa, she led worship for thousands of people, bringing them into Jesus' presence. When I was 21 years old, I was in LA, I was at college, and was at a church service like this. And it was at night, and the preacher had preached, and there was music going on, and there was a response time, and I was like, okay, God, you're going to talk to me. At this time, I didn't know anything about being a pastor. That wasn't even on my radar. And in a moment, God said, this is your path in life. And then he started showing me all these crazy things, and all of a sudden, he started popping into my head, Hollywood. I'm thinking, I don't act, nor do I ever want to. I don't even like getting up in front of people. I don't even know, God, what this is the most crazy, asinine picture that you're giving me in my head. What does this have to do with anything? Let's just talk about maybe my tomorrow, like who I'm going to marry, like where I'm going to live, what my life is going to look like. But why are you showing me all this other stuff? And now, as I have gone on this journey of realizing that time and space and God's existence is to bring people on a journey together, I realize prayers never die. I didn't have Emma 40 years ago when they were walking the streets praying for LA. I didn't have Emma 20 years ago when God gave me a vision that somehow he was going to use my family injected into there. But now, this many years later, I'm watching it walk out one step at a time, one step at a time. And I realized it's for such a bigger journey than what you think it's for in the moment. In the moment, I think there's pain in letting your baby go. There's pain in letting what you thought was going to happen roll on out, and now it's actually not going to happen. But the story that was meant for you today, God's been working on for thousands of years, guys, thousands of years. And it's not just for today, but it's for the generations that are coming. It's for the generations that are going to look back and see, look at their faithfulness. Look at my grandparents' faithfulness, my great-grandparents' faithfulness, my great-great-grandparents' faithfulness, great-great-great-great-great-great-great, all the way down. See what God's done? Do you see where God's headed? So this is a crazy journey that we are walking in the middle of. We don't have all the answers. We don't know actually what we're doing tomorrow. We just take one day at a time. But I want to tell you that God knows. Because one day to him is like a thousand. You can't rationally think about even what that looks like. How much God loves you, that he's moving constantly for you. Constantly. Blaze, I want to tell you, when you walked into service today, I just want to tell you you're in the right place at the right time. And it's not by accident that you joined with this house. And I'm not going to say a thus saith the Lord, but I just want to encourage you that the journey that you're on is not for the moment, but it's for the thousands of people that you're going to take with you. So don't get short-sighted. Don't look with blinders on. But really open up and see if God exists outside of time and space, what that really entails for your life is that generations are going to talk about the faithfulness of you in a moment. You're in the right place, buddy. But guys, I know all of us have a story. I know all of us have a journey that we're on. I know all of us have this I wish it would happen now. It didn't really work out that way. But God, you're still faithful. And what I want us to remember is that what we've been talking about for the last few months, that God is with us. Come on, Expression Church. Do you realize that Ryan and I, 5 years ago, we came here. We looked at LA to go to, but God said, no, come to Austin. Because there's people, there's you waiting here on the other side of our obedience. There's people waiting on the other side of your obedience. And can I tell you something? We have a scripture out there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What is it? 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Sorry. And it talks about how everybody has an expression and everybody gets in on it. So can I tell you that our journey is not just for my family, but this journey that we're on is a journey where everybody gets in on it. It's all of us. Your journey is not just for you. It's a journey that we all get to get on. We all get to be a part of. We all get to cheer on that expression of God in you. So today, before we close, that sinking feeling, that question of, God, is this really your timing? God, I kind of was thinking it was going to be this way, but kind of turned out this way. I want us to respond to that because, listen, if I can have emotion and bawl my eyes out, we know God's doing something. And he wants to do that same thing in your life. And he wants to continue on your journey. And he wants to encourage you and say, hey, it's as easy as Moses raising up the stick. I got this. It's not up to you. I'm going to part the Red Sea, and I'm going to dry the ground, and I'm going to bring everybody across, and generations are going to come and talk about it. That's for you. That's not just for us. That's for us as a church to share your story and your journey as you go along in life. So could you stand with me this morning?